Would you pray with me? God, take these notes, take these words, take this time together, and use it all to help build our trust in you, which gives peace and frees us to take care of the world around us and our neighbors, who you've told us is everyone. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, wow. How did this used to work? Do you remember? I've been preaching to like a camera lens for so long, and it's lovely and a little startling to see all your faces, and I feel like I remember how to do it, but the only thing I don't remember is, when do you clap? Is it after every really good thing that I say, or is it only at the very end of the sermon? So I'm a little uncomfortable, but we'll figure it out together, I suppose. I think it's after everything. I think it's safe to say that we've all been waiting eagerly for this day. Have we ever been more in need of Easter than we are right now? Has the resurrection ever been more relevant than it is right now? In past years, sure, we all knew this was an important story, but it seemed a little distant. A couple thousand years ago, Jesus died and rose again. Good, good. And through his victory over death, you too have been set free from the power of the grave. Cool, very cool, very cool, very religious sounding. We like a little dose of strange religious language from time to time. It shows us that we're loftier than the dogs. One of the problems, though, was that in most years, most of us felt pretty safe from death. It's just not that urgent or present a concern. The youngest of us are blissfully unable to even grasp what death means for the most part. Some of us, teenagers, are pretty sure that we might be immortal. And most of the rest of us are fortunate enough not to think about it on a daily basis. It's a gracious way that God made us. Otherwise, we'd be buried under dread and anxiety, contemplating our own mortality. Well, flash forward to 2020. Most of the world was, in fact, buried under dread and anxiety. We have endured on a daily basis the weight of having to take practical measures to avoid an invisible force, either for our own sake or to protect vulnerable loved ones and neighbors. Even more, the protective measures we took resulted in all sorts of metaphorical deaths. We've been isolated in our homes, cut off from the activities and institutions and spaces like these that helped to give our lives order and purpose. It has been difficult for so many of us, maybe most of us, to maintain just basic mental health. I, for example, have worn sweatpants more days in the past 12 months than probably the rest of my life combined, and at times that was awesome. But as I ironed my hard pants in preparation for the last two Sundays, it struck me how good and human it feels to get ready in the morning when you are expecting to interact with other people. We are social animals. Even the most extreme introverts among us thrive and depend on some degree of connection. And so, these past 12 months and more, we have come to know the valley of the shadow of death quite well. And this spring, as we come back to each other, we come back to life together. And I think we understand a little better the power of the resurrection and our need for it. In the Gospel of Matthew's account of the death of Jesus, we are told that as he breathed his last from the cross, the earth shook and stones split. God is not supposed to die. That's not supposed to happen. We killed Jesus, and it broke the world. Then, as you heard in this morning's Gospel, when Mary and Mary reach the tomb and find it empty, the earth trembles again. God should not die, yes, but the dead should not live. Easter morning, Christ's resurrection again shakes the foundations of reality. Death had forever ruled as the last word. All who entered the valley of its shadow remained there, Now Jesus broke, conquered that natural law, and the grave no longer has the victory. There is no more sting to death. Even in the darkest tomb, we are not separated from God, who blesses us with life. Jesus has extended the authority and mercy of God even into the nothingness of death. You cannot escape it. Easter, though we celebrate it on one holy day, is no longer bound to just one day, just one moment. Easter is the new reality in which you live. The earthquake. I come back to the earthquake. How many times has our reality been shaken this year? How many times and how profoundly have yours personally been shaken? The earthquake in Matthew's gospel was a sign, as was the empty tomb, as was the angelic messenger dressed in dazzling white. Maybe you've asked God for a sign in some moment of prayer. How grateful you'd be for something as clear as those Easter morning signs. Or would you be terrified? But terror was not the point. The point of the earthquake and the angel, as is the point with any sign, is to point. The angel puts it plainly, "Come and see where the Lord lay," past tense, "and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen, and you shall see him." Come and see and go quickly. This has been a hard year. It might feel like we've been in the tomb, but there have been, and there will always be, signs. What do they point us towards? Ourselves? Our own concerns and fears? Do they turn us inward? Or do they, like the angel, point us away from the tomb, away from death? Point us to the Lord and then to our neighbors. Come and see and go quickly. See that the Lord has been raised, that Easter is real, that life has conquered death, and go quickly and tell the people. Spread courage, spread joy, make disciples. God's love for you is unfailing. It endures even beyond the grave, his and ours. Thanks be to God.